Spatial audio is half the immersion, and most installations get it wrong. Every immersive room budget over-indexes on pixels and under-indexes on sound. Here's how spatial audio actually works in domes and installations. Formats, speaker layouts, sync, and the geometry problems nobody warns you about. Spatial audio installations are the half of immersion that budgets forget. A dome or a mapped room gets specified projector first, lumens, blend, resolution, content hours. Sound shows up in the last 2 weeks as a line item called AV package and arrives as a pair of powered speakers pointed at the audience. The result is a room that looks wraparound and sounds flat, and visitors describe the experience as impressive rather than convincing. That gap is not a taste problem. Localization, the brain's ability to place a sound in space, is fast and involuntary. If a bird flies across the dome overhead and the sound of it stays pinned to two boxes at the front of the room, the visual is contradicted before the visitor has consciously registered anything. Immersion is a consensus between senses, and audio breaks the consensus faster than any other channel. This post covers what we actually specify on dome and installation projects, the formats worth using, how many speakers a room really needs, why curved rooms are acoustically hostile, and how to keep audio locked to real-time visuals that are not playing back a fixed timeline, what spatial audio means in an installation context. The term covers at least four distinct technologies that solve different problems. Getting the vocabulary right matters, because vendors use the words loosely, and the wrong choice is expensive to reverse after the truss is up. For most installation work, the real choice is between ambisonics and object-based rendering. Ambisonics is layout agnostic, which is exactly what you want when the speaker positions are dictated by a dome frame or a fabrication constraint rather than a standard. It is also cheap to author. The IEM plugin suite from the Institute of Electronic Music and Acoustics in Graz is free, runs in any DAW, and handles encoding, rotation, and decoding to arbitrary arrays. Object-based systems are better when the piece has discrete sources that need to track precisely. A voice that follows a projected character across the wall. And when there is budget for a proprietary renderer. Reference material worth reading before you commit. The IEM plugin suite documentation for practical ambisonic workflow and ambisonic.net for the underlying theory going back to Michael Gerzen's work in the 1970s. Why curved rooms are acoustically hostile. A projection dome is a concave reflector. The same geometry that makes it a good screen makes it a bad room. Sound reflecting off a dome shell converges toward the center of curvature instead of scattering, which produces audible hotspots. Spots, long flutter, and a low-frequency buildup that no amount of EQ will fix because it is a geometry problem, not a frequency response problem. Three mitigations, in order of effectiveness. First, put the speakers behind the projection surface, which is standard practice in planetariums. A perforated or micro-woven dome screen passes sound while still holding an image, so speakers sit outside the reflective volume. Second, treat the floor, which is the surface that completes the focusing path and is usually the only one you are allowed to touch in a rented venue. Third, use directional speakers aimed inward and downward, so less energy ever reaches the shell in the first place. The room geometry also sets your delay budget. Sound travels roughly 343 meters per second, or about 3 milliseconds per meter. In a 12-meter dome, a visitor standing near one edge is about 12 meters from the opposite speaker, so that speaker's contribution arrives 35 milliseconds late relative to the near one. That is well past the precedence effect window, which is why per-speaker delay alignment, not just level matching, is the calibration step that separates a coherent room from a smeared one. We go deeper on the visual side of the same geometry problem in designing for curved surfaces in full dome, choosing a format and a speaker count. The honest version of this decision is a table. Speaker counts below assume a room in the 8 to 15 meter range, which covers most dome and gallery installations. For a typical dome, we specify first order ambisonics decoded to a ring of 8 speakers at ear height plus 3 to 4 in the upper hemisphere, with a single subwoofer. That configuration gives real overhead imaging, survives being decoded to whatever positions the frame allows, and costs a fraction of an object-based deployment. Third order is the upgrade path. And because ambisonics is layout agnostic, the content does not have to be reauthored when you add speakers. Getting the signal there, above 8 channels, analog cabling stops being reasonable. Audio over IP is the answer. Dante carries hundreds of channels over standard gigabit Ethernet with sample accurate clocking, and AES-67 provides interoperability when the room mixes vendors. Practical consequence for the install, one Cat 6 run to a dome instead of a 24-pair loom, which also means the audio and show control networks can share infrastructure if the VLANs are set up properly, syncing audio to real-time visuals. This is where installations that are otherwise well-designed fall apart. If the visuals are pre-rendered playback, sync is a solved problem. Run SMPTE linear timecode, lock both machines, done. But most of the interesting work now is generative and real-time, as we've argued in the case for real-time over pre-rendered content, and a real-time visual system has no fixed timeline to lock to. Three patterns that work, in increasing order of complexity, audio as master clock. The audio engine plays a fixed piece and emits timecode or Ableton link. The visual system follows, simplest and most robust, but the visuals cannot alter the pacing, shared event bus. Both systems subscribe to OSC or MIDI messages from a show controller, so a cue fires audio and visuals together, good for interactive pieces where sections are triggered rather than timed. Parameter level coupling. The visual system streams continuous values. A particle system's energy, a tracked visitor's position, over OSC into the spatial renderer, so sound sources move with what is on the surface. Most convincing and most work to build. Whichever pattern you use, the latency budget is tighter than people expect. ITUR BT1359 puts the detectability threshold for audio-video sync error at roughly 45 milliseconds when audio leads video and 125 milliseconds when it lags. Audio leading is the perceptually worse failure, and it is also the more common one in installations, because projector processing adds 1 to 3 frames of video latency that nobody accounts for. Measure the projector's actual delay and push the audio back to match it. Quote, if a visitor turns their head toward a sound and finds the right thing there, you've built an immersive room. If they turn and find a speaker, you've built a screening room with better lighting. What this costs, roughly. Budget bands we plan against, hardware only, excluding content authoring and labor. An 8 to 12 speaker ambisonic dome rig with a multi-channel interface, amplification, and a sub lands in the low 5 figures. Moving to third order and 16 to 24 speakers roughly doubles that. Object-based systems from L-Acoustics, D&B, or Meyer Sound carry renderer licensing and vendor-specific hardware, which puts a permanent install into the high 5 to low 6 figures before content. Content authoring is the cost people miss entirely. A spatial mix takes meaningfully longer than a stereo one, and it cannot be finished off-site. The final calibration pass has to happen in the room with the speakers in their real positions, which means schedule and site access, not just budget. Put 2 days of on-site audio time in the plan and defend it, because it is the first thing cut and the most visible thing lost. Frequently asked questions. We design audio alongside the projection system rather than after it on every dome we build. If you're scoping a room, the projection dome's capability page covers how the two systems get planned together. And the Aurora experience is a good example of a piece where the sound field and the visuals were authored as one thing. For the perceptual side of why sensory contradictions break an experience so quickly, the first 30 seconds of VR comfort covers the same failure mode in a headset.